This is Why I Settled in Tasmania.
Life stories about people from refugee backgrounds living and building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
This program is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation, CBF.
Hello, welcome to Why I Settle in Tasmania. I am Sonia Parra. Today, I am with Mithun Bashuval from the Indian community.
So my original mother tongue is like Khatri, the community where I came from. But in the state, we usually speak Telugu. But our national language is Hindi. So in which language do you want me to introduce myself?
In Khatri.
In Khatri. Okay, I don't think we have many Khatri people here in Tasmania except me. But let me try. Me, Mithun Chakravarti Bachewal, aaj here Sonia ke saath interview karna aaya hai. My name is Mithun Bachewal. I am here today to do an interview with Sonia.
How long have you been here in Tasmania?
Well, before I answer that question, Sonia, I really want to thank you and acknowledge the wonderful work you're doing in the community, especially with this radio program and interviewing many of the people and taking those stories to listening to the broader community. I think I really want to appreciate your work that you're doing. Thank you so much, Sonia, and thanks for
being. Thank you.
I've been living in Tasmania for the past 5.5 years. In the year of 2013, I came as a student. I finished my studies in Master's in Pharmaceutical Science. And then after I was completely loving this with this state and with the people here, then I decided to stay here.
So your idea to come to Australia was original to study?
I was born in a very small rural village in India. The name of the village is called Shetpally. It's in the southern village. My childhood was very basic, but when I was in my mid-20s, I became more passionate about communities and people. I just want to do something different with this life. I don't know what to do, but I really have a strong gut feeling to explore the world, to see things around us, how this world works, how the human communities work, how the governance work. One day I think, okay, let's change the country and see a new world, a new place. Then I decided to come to Tasmania in 2013. Honestly, most of the people don't believe that. I don't know anyone in Tasmania in 2013 before I made the decision. So I made the decision, I applied for the uni, packed my bag and come to Tasmania. I booked an accommodation acre on the Liverpool Street, so that was my first plot. And that's my first experience from a small village in India to Australia. Next day morning in Australia was a complete different culture. I can still remember on the night how I feel when I had my first sleep over there in the backpacker with the It's like shared accommodation dorm. Mm-hmm. And the people and the culture. It was completely different. I was a bit scared, but at the same time, I was more optimistic. Yes, things will go. And in the time that things will change.
Why you were scared?
I was scared because, firstly, of the culture. I still remember, it sounds very silly, but the day when I came, it was on a Friday night. And I don't remember that Friday nights people usually do parties here, because I'm from a very village guy. We don't do much parties, especially on Friday nights and Saturday nights. But that was my first Friday night in Australia, especially in Tasmania. And people were everybody partying outside. But I thought someone is really fighting outside. But that was a very funny incident. So I just put my curtain down and sleep. Okay, don't worry what happened outside. But I lately realized that does. I feel very silly at the time. But yeah, this is my first cultural exposure.
Why did you decide to come to Tasmania, to Australia?
When you look at the Tasmania, I really wanted to have some like a peaceful atmosphere, like a fresh water, fresh air, so that I can explore myself within myself. I can see who I am, what I can do, what my skill sets are, what my capabilities are, what I can contribute to the world. So I want to explore these questions, just being myself. And I want to have a very nice space that can provide an environment to explore these questions. And I understand that Hobart is one of the beautiful in the world, especially you see the fresh oxygen here, fresh water. So that's why I chose Tasmania, Sonia.
Do you know something about Tasmania before you came here?
Yes, I do know. I know only one thing, that Tassie got the fresh air and Tassie got the beautiful water.
And do you know anyone in India that know something about Australia or Tasmania?
Not about Tasmania, but we used to have a false belief about Australia, because I used to watch lots of cricket matches between India and Australia at the time. Right. And there is a lots of like sledging happening on the cricket field. And I made a false impression on the whole world country seeing that close cricket match. Oh, is a similar kind of situations happen in the communities over there. People in Australia, they're very friendly, pathetic and very respectful. I really love people down here.
How was the first day when you arrived here?
So after I arrived, I booked a hotel in the backpacker at Liverpool Street. Then I went to orientation at the University of Tasmania. And I met few fellow international students over there. And that was my, I thought, okay, this is your journey. Begin now here, Mithun. Let's see where it goes. And today I am here to do an interview with you, Sonia.
Did you know or did you live in another country before you came to Australia?
No, I haven't lived any other country. And in fact, I haven't traveled much in India as well. I was only towards southern India. I haven't explored the other parts of India, like North India or Gujarat or Punjab, Delhi. So this, India is a very diverse place, lots of different cultures and faiths. I haven't explored them, but I came straight to Australia. But one of the good things is I got an opportunity in Tasmania to explore all other cultures that I haven't explored in India. But I can meet people from Punjabi background, from Gujarati background, from Marathi background, and Malayali, Tamil, Telugu. Ah, it's a great cultural mix in Tasmania.
This is interesting. You came here to know more about India, your own country.
That's true.
I would like to ask you that a little bit more about your experience here. New student, do you know very well English?
Well, I had a very good experience at University of Tasmania. Well, my English was a competitive English at the time, but in the youth course it has improved a lot. I hope I did very well at the University of Tasmania during my master's in pharmaceutical science degree. I had good distinctions and higher distinctions, and I had an opportunity to receive the Golden Key Award based upon my academic merit at UDOTS. So I'm very happy and I'm very glad with what I achieved at University of Tasmania. Not only with the education, Sonia, I was very actively involved in the student councils and societies. So that was one of the trigger point for me. I can do something else, like not only other than the pharmacy degree. I do have some other skill set which I can contribute to the community to make the world a better place for everyone. So yes, I had a very eye-opening experiences at University of Tasmania. I definitely give credit to that.
There, you got also the opportunity to work more with the communities, with the Hobart City Council.
I could share, but that's how it happened, because my first triggering point for me to get into student councils is because at that time, like 5 years ago in early 2013, UTAS is not what it is now. Like, we don't have much variety of resources for the international students. And I feel there's a lack of gap when you arrive to a new country, new culture, and you don't know how to acclimatize at a new university. So I identified that gap. Well, I thought what I can do at this stage, and I started in society to help our like fellow international students to just help me. Okay, where to buy groceries or where to catch a bus, very small things, how to enroll in units, or what's your course. But what you should do if something goes wrong with your school, who's your point of contact, what legal, who can give you a legal advice. So things like that. So I started in a society to help fellow international students, and I had an opportunity to work with Hobart City Council as an international student ambassador. That was one of the most memorable year for me, because during that time, I had an opportunity to represent international students from 5 different countries like India, China, Nepal, Bangladesh, and South Korea. There was a program called Global Engagement, and the University of Tasmania was trying to identify what's the expectations of students, especially international students, what's they trying to achieve here, why they're coming to here.
Why I settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
So So yeah, they choose me as one of the guest speaker on that forum. I was a representative for the fellow international students, and I spoke on behalf of them regarding the accommodations that students should have and the transportation issues. So those kind of key issues that we used to have, especially with internships and job placements. That was one of the nice forum. That forum has triggered to open a new course called IPREP. It is called International Preparing. I did organize it along with my fellow international student ambassadors for a Christmas pageant entry. And yes, we did receive one of the Lord Mayor's favorite award. So we prepared a nice, huge, massive elephant with Indian tradition. We had a good entry on the pageant in 2016.
All these activities, part of the activities that you get from uni as a student, or also is part of the some personal interest that you have?
Well, I think I do have somewhere in my deep passion is to work for the people and work for the community. That is why my inner passion is. The more I dig in and the more I understand it, well, that is where you belong, Mithun. Okay, you study pharmacy.
Very quiet.
But you may be more suitable, more fit for these kind of roles. Well, involving and the kind of feedback that I receive from the people who closely watch me, and everybody saying that, Mithun, you should maybe try to do something, your career options with people and communities and societies. But yeah, I'm still thinking, Sonia. I haven't made any concrete decisions yet. What should I do? But certainly I will do something for the people. I will utilize my skill sets and capabilities to make our communities and this world a better place for everyone.
How many years did you study in UTAS?
There was a 2 years course. A master's in pharmaceutical science is a 2 years course. In 1 year you do a course, and 1 year is a very intensive research work. So I studied 2 years at UTAS.
In that 2 years in UTAS and plus 3 years and a half that you had been living here, you become more involved in other activities after UTAS.
Yes, Sonia. Well, we should start as I said, when I was uni, I run some societies, and then I became an international student ambassador. Then I had an opportunity to be a board member for Multicultural Council of Tasmania, and also very actively involved in very events and the festivals in Tasmania. Just mostly comes follow under the multicultural theme or background, because I believe personally I'm a very strong promoter and supporter of the multiculturalism in our state. That's right. Where I think our future is.
So what about your studies? What are you doing now as pharmacist?
I haven't registered as a fully licensed pharmacist yet, Sonia. In order to do so, I should finish 1 year of internship. So currently I'm looking for an intern position to complete my internship in Tasmania. So once I finish my internship, I get my full license as a registered pharmacist, then I'll do something else maybe after that.
Had you been looking for the internship place for the last 3 years or so?
Well, we have to, as I came from another country, we have to sit few exams with the Australian Pharmacy Council in order to recognize my previous qualifications to here. That took like 1 year of preparation to do like those exams and passing those exams. And then I've been looking for an internship for the past 2 years.
Oh.
For me, it seems a bit tricky to find an internship in Tasmania, because I always wanted to stay here. I feel I'm very well connected to the people down here, and I want to contribute more to the state. That's why I will stay here. I want to do my internship over here. But it seems very difficult at the moment to find an intern position in Tasmania. So I do feel a bit sad to move away from Tassie, but I'll be more optimistic to see maybe things might change.
What do you want to stay in Tasmania?
I invested in Tasmania my 5.5 years of time. I put 5.5 years to understand the place, to understand the culture, to understand people, to get connected to the society down here. So that's all my time investment to know people down here, to make so many good, incredible friends and families. Even I don't have any blood-related families down here, but I have more than kind of relationships with the people down here. I made a grandmother. We're not related blood, but she's my grandmother. If I need anything, she's there. And I have so many great homes in Tassie to go and speak.
And she's from Tasmania.
Well, she's originally from England, and she moved here when she was young. I used to voluntarily work in a place, and she used to come there. And one day it happened to say that, I asked, "You look like my grandmother," and said, "All right, I don't have a grandson. Then I started calling his grandmother. This was like 5 years ago in early 2013. And that's how it's evolved. It's been like 5.5 years. She always visit my whatever events I would do, like my graduations or my presentations at my festivals, that what I do. She always is very strong supporter whatever do here in Tasmania. She's very friendly, nice human being. I'm very glad to meet her.
What do you find here to stay when many people are leaving Tasmania?
Well, I would say the relationships over the time, they're growing. And I'm coming in contact with more people knowing me. Then they have good recognition. If you go on the road, people say, "Hi, Mithun, how are you?" Yeah, people recognize your face here. And that's a very good thing about Tasmania. And they will give you a smile. At least they say hello on the roads. But I don't find in the interstates, especially in Melbourne and Sydney, you don't find such kind of reactions from the people down there. Everyone is busy on their own life. But I think Tassie is a bit different place. Mm. Even though those kind of small hi, hello, smiles, but that have a huge impact on your personal life. That's my feeling.
Well, especially about someone that comes from a small village.
Yes.
And I suppose everybody knows you there and you know everybody in there.
I wouldn't say everybody. Like I might say like most of the people, Sonia. Yeah.
Okay.
Most of the people, yeah.
India, officially called the Republic of India, is a country in South Asia. It is the second most populous country, the seventh largest country by land area, and the most populous democracy in the world. The name India is originally derived from the name of the river Sindhu, the Indus River, and has been in use in Greek since Herodotus in the 4th century before Christ. The term appeared in Old English as early as the 19th century and re-emerged in modern English in the 17th century. The population of India in the year 2020 is estimated at 1,380,4,385 people, according to United Nations data. The Indian population equivalent to 17.7% of the total world population. Vasco da Gama discovered India and established the India route when he sailed around Africa and into the Indian Ocean, landing at Calicut, modern Kozhikode, in 1497. India is home to one of the oldest civilizations in the world. From the traces of hominoid activity discovered in the subcontinent, it is recognized that the area now known as India was inhabited approximately 250,000 years ago.
Come back a little bit when you arrived here. What things did you remember that was a huge impact for you?
I had a very huge, massive travel journey in my life. When I was in India, I was a very small, little, poor village boy. but now I am very strong, more powerful, more optimistic person. I think that's a huge, massive growth in my personal career. Well, degrees, awards and rewards, jobs and titles, I think that's not huge deal, but your internal growth is very crucial. I think that was happened in for me in Tasmania over the years. Because of this, all the qualities, I can see who I am internally, what my core values are, and Tasmania has given me that opportunity to look into my core values. How should I spend this life on this planet Earth to make fellow human beings' lives better? Yeah, I had that experience. I think that's what that's what I feel very biased about to say. I love Tasmania. Tasmania is a beautiful place.
Tell me one or two things that you found really different between India and Australia.
Both these countries have their own cultural advantages and disadvantages. I would start saying India has... The good thing in India is there's more intimacy between like family and relationships between your mother and children's, or between wife and husband, parents, grandparents, grandchildren's. There's more family intimacy and connection in like in a family. But in Australia, I didn't feel such a strong connections between people down here. The majority of them like to have an independent life. So once you're 18, you're out of the home. You're more independent. No, we don't have such a culture in India. We are closely connected to each other. So that's one of the major difference I noticed. I found personally the governance and the system how works in Australia is much better compared to where I came. I feel there's a bit transparency, even though politics and politicians beat up, everyone knows that dodgy area there. But in Australia, it's much better than India.
Is there something that you found really different, really hard probably to start the life here?
Tasmania is to be very cold when you come here, but now you see I'm wearing half sleeves every time. I'm a pure Tassie boy now. I acclimatize the cold very well. India used to be very hot. When I went to India back like a few weeks ago, I feel very hot there. The weather is one of the another difference I noticed. It's sunny.
How you feel and how you see the opportunities for the young people here in Tasmania?
When it comes to opportunities in Tasmania, my perception is more optimistic, but it depends on how you see things. People always complain that Tasmania is a very small place. You don't have many jobs. It hasn't grown very well compared to other interstate. My vision is a bit different. Tasmania is a growing state. I feel it positive. Majority of my friends who graduated from uni with me, they all traveled interstate except me. And everyone says, Smith, what the hell are you doing there, mate? You should come over here. I said, I'm a Tassie boy. I want to stay here.
Okay, how many languages do you speak?
I, including English, I can speak 4 different languages, Sonia. I can speak the national language of India, which is Hindi, and I also speak the state language from where I came from, Tangana, which is called Telugu, and I also speak another language called Kathi, which is our like community language.
And what are you considering is your mother tongue?
Well, my mother tongue is like Khatri, Kshatriyas. It's like the warriors during the olden era. That's how the story they told to me. The grandmother used to say me that's okay. I would also, what's our community and how it's evolved? She said, long story, they used to be king and he used to serve the society, so making the world better place, like kings and kingdoms era. In a short, we should say Kshatriyas like a warriors, the freedom fighters.
I know India had many different language.
That's
but
true.
But this specific is specific for the area or the village that you come from or your family or how it works?
Well, this language is special, particular for the group of communities. So you might understand that India not only divided as a regions and religions, it also has so many caste systems. So Khatri is like one of the particular caste group who speak this kind of language especially.
So the still the castes are...
Yes, Sonia. There is a division in the society based upon caste. Yeah.
Is it still very alive, daily life in the communities?
So many different things we could say about caste. But as you mentioned, one of the point is like getting marriage. Yeah, people usually more try to get married if you're a girl or boy from like similar caste. But in particularly in myself from my family point of view, they are very open-minded. We don't have any such restrictions. We always think that if you find a right person who can suit in your life and who can understand each other and the person is suitable for you to get married. We don't see what religion, what culture, what caste, where you're born, how you look like. We don't see those things, but those are all secondary for me and my parents as well.
But this is very common in India?
No, it's not common in India. It's a bit of unique, maybe I would say I went lucky to have such parents and this life.
By 1200 BC, an archaic form of Sanskrit, an Indo-European language, had diffused into India from the northwest, unfolding as the language of the Rig Veda and recording the dawning of Hinduism in India. The Dravidian languages of India were supplanted in the northern and western regions. Languages spoken in India belong to several language families. The major ones being the Indo-Aryan languages spoken by 78% of Indians and the Dravidian languages spoken by 19% of Indians. Languages spoken by the remaining 2% of the population belong to the Austroasiatic, Sino-Tibetan, Thai Kadai, and a few other minor language families and isolates. India has the world's fourth highest number of languages, 427, after Nigeria, 524, Indonesia, 710, and Papua New Guinea, 840. By 400 BC, stratification and exclusion by caste had emerged within Hinduism, and Buddhism and Jainism had arisen, proclaiming social orders unlinked to hereditary. Early political consolidations gave rise to the loose-knit Maurya and Gupta empires based in the Ganges Basin. Their collective era was suffused with wide-ranging creativity, but also marked by the declining status of women and the incorporation of untouchability into an organized system of belief. In South India, the Middle Kingdoms exported Dravidian languages, scripts and religious cultures to the kingdoms of Southeast Asia.
And how do you feel about this, about the castes in India? Especially that you are living here with the society and culture in Australia.
I don't know how my response would, how it triggers to other people, but personally don't like to see dividing our communities based upon this kind of things. I feel communities, they should be all together. Everybody should have an equal opportunity and equal respect. It doesn't matter which caste you belong from, because it was not in your hand before you born, whether you want to born in a rich class or whether you born in a poor class. Nobody has made such a decision. That happened through naturally. So I feel that everybody should be treated equal. Yes, as you did mention, that India has a lots of caste system. I really, really don't agree with such a system. And maybe that one of the factor that triggered me to move away from India and live somewhere, a country like in Australia. I think Australia, at least on a theoretical paper, we say everybody is equal. Australian values says that everybody should have an equal rights to on this country. That's on paper. But sometimes you don't see in most of the workplaces, or sometimes in our scenarios, some of the decision we don't make in that.
You mean here in Australia with the community?
Well, again, I'm not sure your question might put me in trouble, but my answer, but I'm very open and honest speaking guy, especially when you consider like multicultural communities in Tasmania or in Australia. We still have lots of work to do making these communities good recognition as equal to rest of the communities in Australia. Yes, there is a lots of work to be done, and I am very optimistic one day we will reach there.
What is the things that you like more to live in Tasmania?
Well, I am a very strong lover of the environment. I love the fresh air, beautiful water, the kindness you get from the communities and the people over here. I think that's three beautiful things.
What do you think that is the best way that the government had to improve to retain more people here in Tasmania, to offer as people as you that we were talking before about your internship? You spent here 5 years and a half. You didn't get yet a place to do your internship.
True. I would definitely agree with you, as certainly any government has a major role to play in the communities to make them better and brighter each and every single day. Yes, the government has a major role to play in Tasmania as well, especially with multicultural communities. There's still so much grey environment in the advocacy bodies, the policies and the funding system, especially when it comes to support given assistance for the multicultural and migrant and refugee background people in Tasmania, especially with the employment. As you can see, even if I stay like 5.5 years, I still find difficult to find an employment. I do have a first class degree from University of Tasmania. But I think there's something missing in me. I don't think I'm gonna blame, oh, this is the government fault, I'm not getting job. No, I don't want to say that, but that is an individual perception. Like, everybody should think that, okay, irrespective of what cultural background is, we can employ these people, we can hire these people, even if they don't have great skill set or capabilities at an initial level. If you can found them as, okay, they can learn and they can grow, or give them an opportunity and see what they can do for you. And government could play such a role to educate our communities more, encouraging a multicultural background people to get employed. Even if you say, when we're speaking about politics and politicians, Sonia, if you look at most of our politicians would say, oh, I like multicultural Australia, I love multiculturalism in Australia. You find majority of them saying that. Look at hundreds of politicians in Tasmania. Do you see any, even one single politician has been hired in their office people from different cultural background? None. Zero. I don't want to make a comment, but not even a single politician in Tasmania are employed a person from different cultural backgrounds. These people will say, okay, we want multiculturalism in us. Well, that sometimes things me. Okay. Well, I just laugh.
I wanna see you wine like Rihanna, get all up on the hum, diggy diggy bum bum. She burn it up like the summer, she turn me on with a hum, diggy diggy bum bum.
You got me like crazy, that you're calling.
With a hum, diggy diggy bum bum.
You got me like crazy, that you're calling.
I wanna see you wine like Rihanna, get all up on the hum, diggy diggy bum bum. She burn it up like the summer, she turn me on with a hum, diggy diggy bum bum.
You got me like crazy, that you're calling me.
Hum, diggy diggy bum bum.
You got me like crazy, that you're calling me.
What do you think about the new regional visa, that Tasmanian government is offering in order to get the permanent residence?
I might not be an expert person to leave any feedback, comment on that, Sonia, but I would certainly say yes, I would agree with the statement that you said, like, we Tasmania is offering a nomination visa for the people. And I think that's a part of the state population growing strategy. They want to get more skilled people into our state, which is a good thing for the population point, growing point of view, and which is a good thing for the people who wants to live and commit in Tasmania. But however, saying that, it has some cons as well. Like when you have like more migration into state, you can see issues like students are not finding accommodation. There's so many house crises happening, and there's not enough employment opportunities. And our city's infrastructure, our transportation system is not fitting with the standards and with the capacity of the populations that we have. I think that's one of the main area government would be more proactive in working. I believe, I might not be expert, but I feel that.
Well, you are living here and you can see how the city, for example, Hobart, had been changed in the last 2-3 years.
That's true. It's become more diverse, more multicultural, definitely. In the 5 years ago, there's scarcely none of the majority. I haven't seen many of the international students already, but now the strength is just pouring.
So I would like to talk about how is the village where you come from, how is the life there. Talk a little bit about your childhood.
Right. Earlier, Sonia, I was born in a small village called Shetpalli in India, which is a small village which holds probably, my knowledge, like 3,000 people in the village. Well, my childhood was very, very normal. I don't used to have a very great education, my big schools. Until certain age, I used to sit under a tree to study. That was my classroom, sitting under a tree. But I was very lucky in my life, because as I grown up, I had an opportunity to get into better schools and have an opportunity to pursue a better education. And eventually, I end up at University of Tasmania. I think there's lots of work to need in my village as well. I'm more passionate about working with young people and children. I believe they are the change makers in our society. It's hard to share your vision, encourage people to think in a certain way when into elder people, but you can do this. You can motivate and inspire youngers very quickly and easily. And I think that's the future. If you want to invest your energy, invest in young people and children.
After you finish your studies, I suppose the high school, did you went to study in university close to your village, or how did you get your bachelor?
That's a good question. In my grade 10, I did very good at school. I'm in something like a village or town top guy with my marks grades. Yes. And that gives me a little bit of recognition. Oh, this is the guy who can good at academics. And my principal put me in a private institute for grade 11 and grade 12. And I did very well there as well. I got like overall 92% in my place in year 11 and year 12. On that basis, I got in a free government-funded Bachelor of Pharmacy seat from one of the universities in India. So that was how my education. Until once I finished Bachelor in Pharmacy, and I was started thinking, okay, what should I do with my life? Is my pharmacy? I was looking, what should I do? As I said earlier in this interview, like, I want to know more about myself rather than studying books and going to uni. So at this time, I had a good support from a few of my family members. They assisted me to make this big decision to come to Australia and to do further studies. And then after, I came to Tassie.
And what did you decide to study pharmacy?
I think from my childhood, I am very passionate about science. I love the biology and the biological things in our environment. But pharmacy is something that it's very interesting to see when a very small fraction of external chemical molecule that get into your body and it treats your diseases, it treats your illness,
right,
and it makes your health back onto track. I think I found that connection is very fascinating, something external coming into your body and making changes inside your body to make you feel better. And I want to explore more on those things, like how this works, what happens, what's the mechanism of actions.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's how I pursued the scene. But now again, passion, as I said, is more with people and communities.
Thank you.
In the 15th century, the Vijayanagara Empire created a long-lasting composite Hindu culture in South India. In the Punjab, Sikhism emerged, rejecting institutionalized religion. The Mughal Empire in 1526 ushered in two centuries of relatively peace, leaving a legacy of luminous architecture. The gradually expanding rule of the British East India Company followed, turning India into a colonial economy, but also consolidating its sovereignty. British Crown rule began in 1858. The rights promised to Indians were granted slowly, but technological changes were introduced, and ideas of education, modernity, and the public life took root. A pioneering and influential nationalist movement emerged, which was noted for non-violent resistance and became the major factor in ending British rule. In 1947, the British Indian Empire was partitioned into two independent dominions, a Hindu-majority Dominion of India and a Muslim-majority Dominion of Pakistan, amid large-scale loss of life and an unprecedented migration. India gained its independence on August the 15th, 1947.
Tell us a little bit about your last trip in India. How was this experience to come back to India after a few years living here in Tasmania?
So when I left India, Sonia, in the early 2030, I made a very strong decision myself that I think I should achieve something in my life, or I should find an answer who I am and what I am. It took me 5.5 years to figure out that question. So imagine I haven't crossed the borders of Tasmania 5.5 years. So I was only in Tasmania completely 5.5 years. I never traveled even interstate as well. So after 5 years, 5.5 years, you visiting back to your India and you're seeing your parents, your sisters, your niece, your grandparents, and your friends. There's a massive change happens. Like people get older, and I think there are so many emotional feelings happening on my brain at the time. But the trip was very, very memorable, very nice. When I was at home, like thousands of people came to me to just say hello and see me. Every day, thousands of people. Overall thousands of people. Because that's, in villages, we have like such a like strong connection. Like people come and say you hello, I come and see you. You see, every day I was speaking with someone, or someone coming to meet me, or someone asking me to go to their home and have it for dinner. My 6 weeks of trip to India is went like that.
A part of all the change that you see in the people there, in your family, and probably in the village, how do you feel when you arrive there? Do you find any change in yourself back there? In your village?
Yes, Sonia. The biggest change was in my thought process. So the way how I am thinking now is completely different 5 years ago when I was in India. So I think there's a huge thought process change in my personal point of view. But yes, my village has been grown a little bit bigger. We have a big construction happening at my home. Mm. At my village. Some beautiful, nice houses. Yeah, changes happen, and I feel very fascinating that most of the people that come visited me are majority of them young people, and they wanted to say, Mitra, I just want to speak with you. You found like an inspiration guy to me, Mitra. I feel very inspired when speaking to you. I think, I don't know how I inspire them, but when they say that to me, I feel very happy, you know? I don't know what I did, but you said that you're inspired by me.
Probably because you take the, you know, the courage to go far away from the village and to a very new country and culture. And so the people is interesting to know how your experience is going.
That's true, Sonia, maybe. Yeah, that's really the case. Yes, people are asking me the same kind of questions, like, how was your education there? What did you do there? And do you have any suggestions for us, what we can do? I feel very interesting to speak with those young people, and most of them are highly incredibly talented and passionate people. I'm sure my village has good prospects of growth in future.
And do you have any project for the future in your village?
Well, I always very active to support with education for the children. That's what my personal belief is, giving, as I can see personally in my life, that education has given so many opportunities and it changed my complete life. And I do feel the same with other my same children who are sitting at the school right now. If we give a good education to them, everybody will become, might become a good health, good life like me too. So I invest so much my time and resources on giving good education for children. Yes.
One more remix.
Oh, dil dhadkaaye, aur sooti bajaye. Chhi chhi sadak pe nukrat jaaye,
jaaye tere piche piche aaye hum to hai deewane tere tera hona chahe
itti bajaye nukre dikhaye itti bajaye nukre dikhaye beech sadak pe hai naam mera upar ho kar ke ishaare o ladka
तुषार कपूर की आवाज में कुमार सानू की आवाज में
ओ लड़की आँख मारे ओ लड़की
Do you have any particular project for your own future here in Tasmania?
I haven't made any concrete decisions as well. But as I said, I am very actively involving doing all the events. You might know Sonia. I do involve doing the Hobart language here. And I've also coordinated this year the Diwali festival, which turned out to one of the biggest multicultural festival in Tasmania. I'm very proud of in saying them, because I just so many of us we voluntarily invested on this project to get onto that particular shape. But as I said, I don't have any. I do have lots of ideas what we can do in our state, but I haven't made any route plan and like how we're going to get there. But yeah, something will happen soon.
But what would you like to do, for example, with the multicultural communities here? How do you see that? What is the way to improve the life here for the multicultural communities, for example?
I think especially in Tasmania, there's a great need of transparency in the Multicultural Council of Tasmania, especially we consider it as a peak body. It needs a high transparent and integrity of that particular bodies is very crucial for us, and the government and the funding bodies has to be very careful how they're spending the taxpayers' money, because each and every dollar is coming from hardworking people in our community, and I believe that money should be spent back to the community to make their life better, but not someone else's personal profile increase. Yes, as you said, Sonia, we have to do lots of work in the multicultural area, making empowering the people more, making them understanding, bring to them and be more streamlined in spending our taxpayers' money, and especially protecting the integrity of the big bodies and making the system working more transparent.
Why I settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
What is the things that you more miss from your own culture here in Tasmania?
Well, back in India, there's a very close connections between people. When you go, you can hug people, you can touch people, you can give high five, you can give fishbone. Well, there's a more physically connected culture. I mean, in Australia, there's a distance. You know, hey, hello, good day. It's a bit distance. I miss sometimes that. I really wanted to be a very social guy. But yeah, I think Australia, I sometimes do miss that in Australia, especially I'm living single.
And about the, I don't know, the food, the stuff like that?
Food, yes, Sonia. I've been away from home for the past 10 years and I became, in the due course, I became a very good domestic chef. I cook curries very well. You're most welcome to treat yourself sometimes. Yes, I can make all the dishes very nicely by myself.
So you don't miss the food because you don't prepare your own food.
I prepare my own food, so I don't miss the food. Yeah, I don't even like to try to much restaurant food, outside food as well, because I like cooking and eating by myself.
Me too. In all these years, did you feel in any way some unrespectful expressions or unrespectful training for you or something about racism against you?
Yes, Sonia. I think there are a few instances where I feel a bit disappointed. I don't like to share them openly in public, but yes, I did have a few of the incidences. I would say that maybe a bad thing or a good thing, that if those things wouldn't happen to me, I would not become a person to think that I want to change this kind of things in our communities. So maybe I would not get that thought in my brain. So if someone hasn't treated me, I would say thank you to those people who treated me badly. Because of them, I'm trying to do something good in my communities now. But I'm very optimistic and much more confident that the future of Tasmania is very bright and strong, especially in multicultural sector.
Do you think that the racism is still happening in the community today?
Yes, Sonia. There's a very strong need of education in our societies, especially to understand the concept of multiculturalism, how it is benefit our Australia. I mean, sometimes we do define the word multicultural. Multiculturalism is completely different. In my opinion, multiculturalism is not a different or separate entity. It's like an including everybody, you know, you, me, and every single body. When we come all together, it becomes a multicultural society of Australia. We don't define that particular word like that. We only define, okay, if you appear a bit different, or if your accent or if your English sound a bit different, you are a multicultural person, but I don't think that's the right definition.
What is your definition?
My definition is multicultural. I feel the whole Australia is itself a multicultural country because every single one of us here who living here is came from different part of the world. Whether you could be a first generation of Australian or you might be in a sixth or eighth or seventh or tenth generation of Australian, but somewhere down the line, someone came from different part of the world to here. You have to remember that you brought a different, you brought in a unique culture to this land, and in the same way some other people brought their unique culture to this land. And when we mix all these cultures together, and that's give and a nice blend, and that's called multiculturalism.
How do you see and how do you think your future here?
I don't know, sometimes I do scare of my future because I always have very bold and very big thoughts. I always try to dream big. Sometimes, you know, when you have a bigger dream, you don't see instantaneous results, and you have to be more patient, more optimistic every day. I do have those personal qualities. I'm a very stubborn and very strong, internally very strong, very optimistic guy. I always feel that I have a very bright future in Tasmania, and I will improve my skills and capabilities every single day to reach where I want to go.
मैं डालू ताल पे भंगड़ा तू भी गिद्धा पाले चले रंग जमा दे हमके बने सभी मत वाले
मन कहे कि मैं ले आऊं चांदर तारे सारे इन हाथों पर मैं चांद रखूं इस मांग में भर दूं तारे
हेलो हेलो तू फ्लोर पे जब है आई येलो येलो बड़ी सॉलिड मस्ती छाई
हेलो हेलो तू मुझे तुमने लगाई येलो येलो कंट्रोल करो मेरे भाई
मुझे बड़ा तड़पावे तू देख तो आज भी दिल पर घुड़िए तीर जायक जल जावे कर दे बिन पिए शराबी चेहरा तेरा गुलाबी कोई क्यों ना यमला बन जावे जो इतनी हो बेताबी
हेलो हेलो दिल दिल से कनेक्ट करना येलो येलो ये बातें डायरेक्ट करना ਨੱਕ ਤੇਰਾ ਪੰਨ ਦੂੰਗਾ ਨੱਕ ਨੱਬ ਕਹਿਣਾ ਅੱਛਾ ਨੱਕ ਤੇਰਾ ਪੰਨ ਦੂੰਗਾ ਨੱਕ ਹਾਏ ਮੈਂ ਕਬੂਤਰ ਫਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਹੋਰ ਕੋਈ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ ਹਾਏ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ ਹਾਏ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ
ਫਨੋ ਜਨਕ ਤੇਰਾ ਪੰਨ ਦੂੰਗਾ ਨੱਕ ਮੈਂ ਤਖਨੋ ਜਨਕ ਤੇਰਾ ਪੰਨ ਦੂੰਗਾ ਨੱਕ ਮੈਂ ਤਖਨੋ ਜਨਕ ਤੇਰਾ ਪੰਨ ਦੂੰਗਾ ਨੱਕ ਮੈਂ ਤਖਨੋ ਜਨਕ ਤੇਰਾ ਪੰਨ ਦੂੰਗਾ ਨੱਕ ਹਾਏ ਮੈਂ ਕਬੂਤਰ ਫਸਿਆ ਤੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੋਈ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ ਮੈਂ ਕਬੂਤਰ ਫਸਿਆ ਤੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੋਈ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ ਮੈਂ ਕਬੂਤਰ ਫਸਿਆ ਤੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੋਈ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ ਮੈਂ ਕਬੂਤਰ ਫਸਿਆ ਤੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੋਈ ਫਸੇ ਬਿਨਾ
Wow. Well, thank you, Mithun. Would you like to say something just to say goodbye in Telugu?
Yes, Sonia. I would say once again, thank you so much, Sonia, for doing this kind of projects and all the other works that you do in the community, especially with the Hobart Language Day, and you're doing like Why I Settled in Tasmania, this radio program. And the way you try to bring people together, I really appreciate that. Sometimes I do feel proud playing a small part in that your bigger idea of the version, especially sharing the linguistic diversity of Tasmania. Well, I can say a few things in Telugu or Hindi. Do you want to say Telugu or Hindi? I can say in Hindi so I can more would understand that. Bahut dhanyavad Sonia. Aaj mujhe aapne interview ke liye bulaya. Aapka jo relation, aapka jo pyar, aapne mujhe diya hai, aur usko bahut bahut dhanyavad. Thank you. I said thank you so much, Sonia, for all the work that you're doing. I said thank you so much for the similar kind of patterns that we have towards community.
Thank you, Mithun. Next Saturday, 23rd, we will be here with another life story from people settled in Tasmania. Tune in then. Bye.
Bye, settled in Tasmania.
On Saturday, the 23rd of January, join us to listen to another fascinating story from the Spanish community.
Here on Hobart FM.